Good afternoon. Today is, holy cow, the end of July. That's mildly disturbing. 211th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, working hard but still making time to find us, St. Bernard's President Dave Sharp.
Hey, good afternoon.
You're not wearing the colors though today. You kind of look more South Forky, frankly.
Well, by this time of the week, all my green has been exhausted. So.
Oh, I see. Yeah, ain't that true with all of us?
End of July, it's back to school shopping time though. So.
Yeah. Do you guys have uniforms for the junior high?
Yeah. Yeah, K through 8.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any thoughts of the high school? Because I know that there had been some discussions throughout the diocese, but throughout the public schools also in some areas where they have structured attire because they don't want either the gang things or somebody having stuff. Others don't want all that kind of thing. Has there been a thought of bringing that one back and just letting seniors have a different dress?
Yeah, there's certainly a thought of it. It's not something that we're not going to spring it on them in a few weeks, but there is certainly a way to do it that gives the freedom but still gives the sense of uniformity and, you know, some options.
Well, so. It's better than the ashes in the forehead every morning. We'll catch up on the summer. Also, take a look, see ahead at what 3 weeks looks like when we come back.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 313. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Dave Sharp. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Jane Wagner, 1977, quote, "Reality is a crutch for people who can't cope with drugs."
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as long as the month's over, we may as well have a little bit of fun, huh?
You've been waiting to pull that one out, huh?
No, you know, actually, anybody who knows how much preparation I do for this knows exactly how much time it took to find that
okay,
one. Yeah.
All right.
Oh, boy. A lot of activity going on the athletic fields the last little bit. Is that just the normal getting ready for fall? Is that, you know, some of the baseball teams playing their summer schedule? What's been going on there? Because it's kind of tough to peek through the fence.
Yeah, sure. Summertime is a busy time for us, for our students, but also for our coaches too, and also for sharing those talents that our players and coaches have with the youth of our community. So a couple of things that are happening on the field throughout the summer. Number one is our youth sports camps, where we have our coaches and our select varsity players working with elementary age students and in particular sports, from soccer to baseball to basketball, football, everything's going on. And then also our football team has been out there practicing quite a bit this summer. The rules have been relaxed a bit in terms of how much or how soon you can practice.
That's what I've heard. Now, was that the NCAA, the North Coast Sectional, the regional governing authority? Was that California doing it? Was that the country?
Something that major is NCS and the CIF, which is the state organization, NHS as well. It's statewide. Yeah, you can go out there and practice. We had practices going on May, June, and just not having that tight window. They've really spread it out, and hopefully it's going to help our players learn better technique and make themselves better, and not try to cram everything into a short time period, but kind of spread it out, give them time to learn, to make mistakes and
recover.
Recover too, yeah, and enjoy some summer.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure, I know all coaches want their kids to enjoy the summer.
Coaches want to enjoy summer too. Yeah. Getting better is a good way to do that.
Yeah, exactly. So as you're looking at that at the state level being relaxed, And at the same time, a lot of discussions are being talked about with concussions. Mm-hmm. The kid from the Seattle Seahawks retiring early, 27 or something, because mm-hmm. he didn't want to deal with some of the things that others have had to deal with. When you're either on the practice scenario or when it's game time, have the local schools come together and made any adjustments or recognition of these types of things? Because, you know, it may not be 300 pounders locking up mm-hmm. and smacking their heads, mm-hmm. but I bet you 170 pounders can get just as goofy.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a great question because, yeah, that's actually something that's been in place for the last couple of years, a partnership with HSU and also all the local high schools of doing concussion testing. So there's a baseline test that the students do before their season starts. And if they do suffer a concussion, you know, they have to take that test again to see where they measure. And if they continue to have concussion symptoms, then they're held out until they can pass. So it's a great partnership, and it's quick. You know, if you have somebody with a concussion, you know, you get them in quickly, you get them tested, and, you know, if it's serious, then you get the help quicker than if it's up to the coach's discretion to what sort of treatment they might need.
So it's automatic protocol, boom, automatic, boom, boom, happens.
Yeah, if he comes out of the game or she with a concussion, yeah, there's protocol in place, and certainly people that are keeping their eye on that sort of thing. It puts, you know, the school at risk, and but more importantly, the student athlete, if you run them back out there with that serious of injury.
All sports?
Yeah, yeah. It's all the contact sports. So it's a good system that, you know, when you introduce these new things for coaches that have been around forever, you kind of worry, you know, is this going to work? But it has been working. So we've been excited to work with that partnership, and it's been beneficial for all of us.
So Humboldt does the testing?
Yeah, yeah. They run it up there, and they come to the schools to, you know, administer the test. And
the baseline?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. Same with practice?
Yeah, I mean, you can't come back to practice, and, you know, until you pass the test, and, you know,
they're looking during practice also, or monitoring.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's not something that our coaches are going to play with and take that chance of, you know, putting somebody's a 17-year-old their head on the line by running him back out there. And that's good practice. That's common sense. And you hear these you know, former football players like Brett Favre and others who say, you know, I don't know if I would let my kid play football. And you know, it really makes you think about, you know, what sort of things can we do to make it safer, and you know, realize that not every high school football player is going to go play in the pros. So are you willing to take that risk? And if you are, you know, how can you do it safely?
Well, even the kid that was with the Giants during the warmups took one in the chops. You know, just a throw from third. He was looking at second. Boom. You know, it's amazing how vulnerable so many of the athletes are, regardless of what the sport is, if it's just done just right.
Yeah, that's a hard ball, a baseball, and helmet's pretty hard. And it doesn't have to be, you know, we had an incident this year where, you know, it was just 7-on-7, no pads, no helmets. A couple kids go up for a football that was thrown in the air, and
clank,
heads come together. So it's in place for a good reason, and it's a good system.
KINS News and Information Times 319. We'll be back with more from Dave Sharp.
Nearly half a century in the news business should count for something. I'm Dave Silverbrand, and that's how long I've been watching the world go by. Now it's time to put it in perspective. Join me each weekday for a look at local news and views and what they mean to you from my perspective. Dave's Take 2 on KWSW three times each day during the 8, noon, and 5 o'clock hours. Or read them on our website, kwsw980.com.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Sharp. Dave, in addition to some of the schedule for the kids to practice, I would imagine it's more than just football and volleyball. Did every season get an extended opportunity for practice?
So far, it's just football.
Just football, not even volleyball.
As far as I'm aware, maybe that's just what I'm noticing as I'm walking out in the parking lot, passing these guys and their pads, walking out to the field. But as far as I'm aware, it's just football for now. You know, there is some leeway in the fall sports to have that time during the summer. I mean, if you open up the practice, the first day of practice for basketball or baseball, you're infringing on the other sports that are going on. And the other thing, too.
And I suppose that's a concern for some people.
Well, yeah. Well, look at
you being a baseball guy, me being a basketball guy. You know, I really don't care about the football season.
I love baseball. You can call me a baseball guy, but I also think that playing more than just one sport is incredibly important, especially for a young athlete's body. So it's interesting.
Okay, you've covered yourself. That's okay.
No, when we interview coaches, one of the questions we ask is, you know, what do you think about multi-sport athletes? Because at a small school like ours, where there's 140 students in the student body of the high school, you know, we do have
a lot of crossover.
We don't have a lot of specialized athletes who are playing just one sport and that's all they focus on. We got students playing two, three, even four sports if it works out. So that's something we really embraced. And we realized that, you know, if you're a pitcher and you're throwing the ball 12 months out of the year and that's all you're doing and you're not working other, you know, groups of muscles in your body, that's going to wear you down, we believe. So we definitely encourage it to get out there and you know, play other sports, work different, and also get exposed to different coaching styles and coaches.
Like I said, nice cover.
I believe it, though.
Are there any other changes that are anticipated this year?
You know, there's a big focus on football, and especially safety and head injuries. So there's been some restrictions in terms of double days and the amount of contact that you've that you can have. And I think that's something.
So you have contact practices and non-contact practice?
Right, the amount of times you can practice with helmets and pads and all that good stuff. So I kind of wish that was a rule when I played, because I definitely did not like the practices for football season. I loved football. You could even call me back then a football guy, but I would have enjoyed more practices in shorts.
Yeah, but you know what happens when you have shorts on an athletic field? Sprints. That's not fun either.
Maybe shorts were only designed for the basketball court.
Yeah, yeah, okay. That's my theory.
There are lots of sprints there.
Yeah, yeah, 90 foot at a time. Oh, academically. You know, I know that there have been different challenges over the last little bit. It just, I guess even a real simple one is the ACT, SAT, and how those testing modules have evolved, I guess, over the last decades. Is there anything along those? Are the UCs looking for anything different, or some of the private schools looking for anything different than what historically has been in place that some of the kids might need to at least start paying attention to now if they're sophomores, juniors?
In terms of, you know, testing ACT, SAT, those are staying pretty standard. In terms of what the schools are looking for, of course, we're getting ready for the SAT to change their kind of scoring system to be what it used to be. So that's going to be a little bit different.
You're going back to just the English math?
It's going to be a different point system. So when you say that
so actually have no consistency with anything that your folks did, so nobody can brag on the other guy.
Well, they're not recreating it. It's going back to the system it used to be. So,
oh, really? The 1600 being perfect?
Right, right, yeah.
Ha! Not that I got that close. It did not matter.
How did you know that? but, you know, what? That's a great question, because it, you know, what can set yourself apart from other students if you're applying for a university that's pretty selective? I mean, two students could have the same SAT score, but what's going to set them apart? One thing that we're finding is that, you know, community service is great. You know, it's good to be involved in something. But if you're somebody that's starting a community service project or starting a club, or you're taking your idea and making it the school's idea and then the community's idea, I mean, that's pretty impressive feat and the type of person that a university would want to have, somebody that's starting and has this entrepreneurial streak that's, you know, is pretty desirable.
Is that something that a lot of the schools are embracing? If you had, a sophomore come to you and say, hey, I got an idea, but I need to do da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and the school's got to make a minimum of a four-year commitment, then sure. I can't imagine there's going to be too many administrators who are going to do cartwheels down the hallway and embrace the kid for their creativeness and sound thought.
Yeah. Well, within our framework at St. Berners, we have built within there a Christian service project where you can You've got this binder of, okay, you can, you know, do these things, which are all great, or you can have a great idea and we'll help support you to do it. So if that means a moderator and, you know, some resources, whether financial or just time, yeah, it's worth doing, because that could be, you know, the next Betty Chin or the next, you know, great cause that somebody can pick up and start right here in Eureka or Humboldt County.
As you look at trying to foster that, most kids aren't going to go out on the limb. Mm-hmm. How do you support them to take those risks, because their college career could be on the line if it doesn't show real well?
Right. I think those students that are going to have that idea, that are going to, they'll have thought about, okay, not just having the idea and some of the details behind it, but just the drive to get it done, whatever it takes, whether you have an administrator that wants to go on board with it or not. I think those students would help find a way. So supporting them in whatever we can is, you know, I think really easy for us to do.
It's 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Sharp from St. Bernard's. Dave, as you look at some of the different challenges and the changes that are going on in the post-high school educational arena, are there things that are out there that the kids are clamoring for that are still kind of a little, well, let's just say on the wish list?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the electives is an area that I was thinking of particularly. Are there areas of changing interest that mm-hmm. really do apply to a college prep curriculum?
Mm-hmm. You know, one area that we're going to expand into that goes along those lines is College of the Redwoods offers a lot of online classes that our students can take and get college credit for. And they can take those classes from, you know, sitting in a classroom at St. Bernard's. So, for instance, let's say that I'm a senior student and I've got one or two free periods. You know, why not take an online class from CR? You know, have a teacher kind of designated to help you through that, to answer questions that's on staff, and, you know, build up some college credits that way. So, you know, bringing in, you know, the university or the junior college into the high school, whether it be a physical presence or an online presence, is something that we're going to be expanding into, because, you know, we do have quite a few seniors that have some free time, you know, a period or two where they're free. I mean, there's options that they, you know, can take electives, but, you know, CR can offer more electives than we can, which is definitely a nice option for us. And another thing that along those lines would be entrepreneurship, getting our students out there with local businesses, leaders in the community, to see what it is that what they do, how they started their business. But you don't have to be somebody that wants to start your own business to get something out of, you know, learning from a leader of a small business, because, you know, those characteristics and traits that they have in starting their business could be applied towards, you know, a world of opportunities as a doctor or anybody else out there.
When the kids are looking for what schools they want to go to, I know that had been an emphasis over the last couple of years of trying to work with them, not senior year November, but
right,
somewhere earlier than that. Is there that kind of back and forth, give and take, that really helps the younger kids? I mean, you mentioned the freshman class being a pretty healthy one this year.
Mm-hmm.
To kind of start the process at that level is almost part of the freshman orientation.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And you can start in our own backyard and you know, give students a taste of what a college campus is. We had a great opportunity last spring in our eighth grade trip to just make a quick pit stop at UC Davis. So our annual eighth grade trip is a excursion down to San Francisco, and we cut across, went to Sacramento for a day at the Capitol, and hey, there's a nice UC right there alongside the road. So they were still in session. It was a late May trip for us, but they were still in session. So even I had you know, took things away from that visit that I would think to myself, oh, isn't that unique or isn't that great? I mean, there's no cars allowed, you know, within the campus there, and you've got a lot of students on bicycles and a lot of students.
Something about 20,000 bicycles just makes me feel warm and fuzzy all over.
Yeah, just flying around. You know. But it was great. I mean, the students enjoyed it to see, oh, wow, look at all these people, and they all got somewhere to go, and, you know, to have just to set foot on a campus and to walk around and get a feel and, you know, to ask somebody, hey, where's the bookstore? You know, that and to get a nice response, then that's, you know, models what, you know, they should be striving towards when they're getting into that age, but also, you know, where they should set their sights in terms of university.
Yeah, it's certainly makes things more a little bit more tangible. You know, right. If not to denigrate Humboldt or CR, but if those are the two schools, maybe you've gone to Sonoma State, you know, down in Santa Rosa for whatever, you touched on the campus.
Yeah.
Okay. But the more you know.
There's so many different types of settings, you know, from UC Davis where it's kind of spread out to USF where it's right in the middle of town. I mean, there's just a lot to see, and to be able to pick a school, you know, from a catalog or brochure, and that's tough to do. Yeah, it's tough to do.
Even a website. Tough to do. I know a lot of the kids will take opportunities during the breaks to do certain things. Mm-hmm. Will there be an effort to have the school coordinate? Mm-hmm. So if you have a week off, run. I know that a lot of the international kids will do it. Mm-hmm. You know, run a week to X, or spend a week here or there. Has there been a thought that the school could do something like that? You know, everybody chip in a couple of bucks so that you know, the gas is paid for or whatever, and you know, drive up to Oregon and see Oregon State and Eugene, maybe a play at the Herd or something like that, and make it more than just visiting schools, but almost like a retreat.
Oh, wow.
But not a class retreat, an interest retreat.
Yeah. No, we did that recently where we partnered up with some of the public schools to kind of tag along on their journey. But yeah, just, you know, who's interested? Let's get enough to get a Suburban or a bus or however many people we need to take, and, you know, just take a quick trip down to, you know, the city or up north to Eugene and Corvallis. It's definitely worthwhile to, because you got that, you're right, you got that downtime. And, you know, a lot of families are going away on vacation during those times, but are they really, you know, breaking away for just a couple hours during that time to set foot on a college campus that's nearby?
Well, if you're not in the educational model, a lot of times, you know, you don't have that flexibility. So it would be interesting, I think, for me, to see the kids' reactions. You know, you get to, oh, well, what'd you think about Oregon? What'd you think about Berkeley? And have them catch fire and kind of spread that through the class also, or through the school.
Yeah, on that recent trip, we know we had students go into the bookstore, get a nice sweatshirt, and they bring it back, and, oh, well, where'd you get that?
Yeah. Oh, I was there.
Yeah. I might go there.
Yeah. Oh, and look, Mom has a Nordstrom shirt on. KINS, News and Information Times 342. We'll be back with more from Dave Sharp.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 345. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Dave Sharp. Dave, one of the things I know in the past that you have really taken some pleasure in is the involvement or the interaction with the local clergy with the school. A lot of changes happened at the end of June this year. For those who aren't Catholic, it's kind of the changing of the season, so to speak, for a lot of the priests as they get reassigned. You got some new players. Mm-hmm. You got some old players. What is that going to mean for the school? Are you going to have some of those new personalities involved?
Yeah, Father Greg, Gregory Villascusa, from St. Mary's. He'll continue to be our our priest on campus, and then Father Tom at St. Bernard's, who had some experience in this area and with the school back in the mid-80s, really just showed up on my doorstep and said, hey, I want to get involved. And with just great attitude and willingness to work with us, partner with us, and provide a presence on a regular basis there at the school of a priest, of, you know, somebody that students can talk to, he can teach you a lesson. That's what we're really excited about. It. So we're excited to have one priest, and we're going to have two priests now and have a regular presence from them. So Father Tom has been great to work with, and he's diving in to the school, and that's the sort of enthusiasm we want from a priest to work with our students and you know, give it more of a feel of a Catholic school.
I would imagine it'll be easier when the kids are around.
Yeah.
Is there, though, an outreach for the clergy with staff as well as with the kids? The whole, mm-hmm. the extension of or the continuation of the religious elements?
That's a great point. That's something that, you know, we do set aside some time in our faculty meetings for some faith formation. We're so fortunate that we have two deacon candidates, Mr. Brown, Mr. Farrell, that are working to become deacons, and they can provide some ongoing support for our staff in faith formation, but also to have, yeah, the priest there to, you know, answer those questions, you know, from an old Catholic or somebody coming into the faith or no experience with it. And to, you know, we spend a lot of time in faculty meetings, you know, working on curriculum and instruction, all these sort of things. But for a school like ours, there's more to it. And to have, you know, a couple deacons to be, hopefully, and, you know, a couple priests, that's a great way to get there.
Now, is there any truth to the rumor that Mike Cloney is going to be pickled and put up in the lobby?
I've heard
retirement.
Oh,
a retirement.
On a permanent basis?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I one of the cool things I think that St. Bernard's has is like a Mike Cloney.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody who went through, was a priest, mm-hmm. was involved, was on the staff, yeah. still around, yeah. knows it all, and yeah. still has the twinkle in his eye.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, he's great, and he does our 8th grade mass at the end of each school year, and he just has a great homily for that. But yeah, he's always around, and he's got the same energy as our students do, so he fits in nicely. And we've had a few sisters that that have gone to St. Bernard's and gone on to the Sisters of St. Joseph of Orange, and you know, but Father Mike, he's our only priest.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get rid of him very soon either.
Well, no, and
was that a little Irish attempt there? Oh,
we might have a room in the dorm for him if he wants to retire there.
Boy, would that put a different twist on things, huh? You have your Chinese food, and then over here we have hot dogs and hamburgers every night.
That's,
yeah,
Father Mike's fridge. Yep.
Oh, I'll have to suggest that next time I see him.
Yeah, see what he says.
Sharp said that you want to.
We got a room just for him.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. School starts
August 27th, Wednesday.
On a Wednesday. Why a Wednesday?
Wednesday works good for us. It gives, you know, that first week, you know, it's kind of getting your feet wet for students and for teachers a little bit too. So that Monday, Tuesday really gives our teachers a chance to get ready to go for that Wednesday kickoff. And the students get a nice short week, Labor Day weekend, and then they hit it full speed right after that.
Kickoff, you're bringing that football thing in there again. I think we're done. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.